You're listening to Spartan Up Podcast. We're going to interview somebody every week from all over the world and see what they did in their life to become successful, no matter how they defined it.
Good morning and welcome up. Welcome to the Spartan Up Podcast at the beautiful Amy Lodge in Pittsfield. We've just seen the most amazing jump.
Super frog.
That was incredible.
Johnny, what do you think of those jumps?
They're laughing at me because I just tried to show them how easy it actually is and probably hurt my back as bad as I've ever hurt it. That really, really
I
is.
Heard something.
Who were you trying to emulate?
I'll tell you who I wasn't trying to emulate. My three friends here. No, it was Nate Carr Jr., and I'm going to get that in just a second. But first, I just want to say I'm Johnny Waite. I have Dr. Del Grimswell. I have Sephra. And I have retired Colonel
be very upset.
Tim Nye. And we're here in the Amy Lodge.
With Maid.
With Marian, our camera person.
Forever knowing.
Maid Marian.
Our fifth and most important panelist. Actually, in our
and
sixth
Joe
panelist,
here, yeah.
The sixth man, they like to say, is over in Singapore right now. So you can't be with us today. But we do have an incredible interview. This is actually a milestone for our podcast. I think it's the first time we've interviewed the second generation, not at the same time. We've had father-son before.
We did do father-son.
Yeah, so we had Nate Carr Sr.
Cool
before. Now we have
Big
Nate Carr
family.
Jr. And this is actually an interesting one. We have he's got a lot to say, and he says in a fairly short period of time. So we're actually doing two. We're going to come back in halfway through and introduce the second part of the podcast. But the first part is Nate Carr Jr., incredible wrestler. And see what he has to say.
Can't wait.
Boom.
Brilliant. Bring it.
We are here for Spartan Up Podcast at the Amy Farm in Vermont with Nate Carr Jr. If you don't know who Nate Carr is, he went to the Olympics in what year?
1988.
88, and his brother went?
And his brother Jimmy went in 1972 on Dan Gable's team, was 16 years old.
So your blood is wrestling blood.
Yeah, definitely.
16 kids in that family?
Yeah.
And then how many in your family?
Seven. I'm the oldest of seven. Actually, my family has five All-Americans, the most in NCAA history. So a lot of, my dad used to say, I want to be the best in my family, which is a saying a
that's
lot.
That's a tough.
I want to get up there with him and be an Olympian one day, and something to push me and, work hard for.
You're getting old. How old are you now?
27.
27.
Yeah, my dad made the Olympic team at 28, so.
So this is it.
Yeah, 28 years later.
Brazil.
Yep, Brazil, Rio, 2016. So.
This is it.
Yeah.
You're going to be ready?
I'm excited, yeah, training with you and working with the best guys in the world all across the world and country. I'll be ready. I'm excited for the opportunity.
How many years have you been on a mat?
Well, I was born into the mat. I was just born just to, be around the mat. My dad was a coach at West Virginia, but I didn't start competition until fifth, sixth grade. We went to a couple tournaments. I did other sports. It was no pressure. It was just, go try this, go try this. There was no pressure to be a wrestler, but I just loved it. It was something I wanted to do. So I started committing seventh and eighth grade. I started really working hard to be one of the best.
So basically, the way you're operating, we've been together a few days, is will it get you to Brazil? If it won't, you're not interested.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
You're up at 1 a.m. this morning.
1 a.m.
Training.
Sandbag and everything. It was, it's all your fault, but I appreciate it. Something new. I believe if a great coach used to tell me, if nothing changes, nothing changes. And that basically means if you do something, you have a goal, and the way you're doing it, you're not getting there, that means something has to change. And if you don't change that, you're going to have the same results you had last year. I wasn't your best friend early in the morning, but I pushed through.
Are you worried that your competitors are seeing this? They're going to start waking up in 1 a.m. with sandbags?
Good luck. Come to Vermont. Check it out. If they want to come to Vermont and have you tell them to climb a mountain and almost break your kneecap and worried about bears and stuff, and if they want to do that, go ahead.
What is this thing?
Hashtag treated. This is my sports gear. Basically, it means everybody has a gift. Everybody has something that God gives them inside of them. Everybody has something special, whether it's sports, whether it's, being a doctor, whether it's saving kids' lives, being a mentor. Everybody has something. And I believe that you should treat the world to your abilities, God-given abilities. And that's what it means.
So it's a treat for me to watch you wrestle.
Yes, it's a treat for you. I want to use every ability that I have.
To treat everybody else with it.
To treat everybody around it, a gift. You can change the world if you use your gifts. Now, it's up to you to choose to do that. Now, on the streets, if something like, say, LeBron James dunks on somebody, and it's amazing, and everybody's there, and they see it and witness it.
They got treated.
They got treated. So LeBron used everything he had to treat somebody. So it's this twofold, you can treat somebody and dominate them and just go out there and tear them up and just wow, did you see that? LeBron James just dunked on this dude. And if you witness something like that, you get excited. If you see somebody do something
they're
great.
They're motivated.
Yeah, if you see somebody do something great and they're wearing a treated shirt, you're like, man, I want to be treated. I want to do something like that. So it's just something I'm looking forward to, you know, selling and getting out there. And I want people to, if you want to be part of the Treated Nation, that means you just want to, you want to do something great with your own abilities.
What's going on behind us here?
We got our first ever, is this the first ever, right?
Our first ever Spartan Wrestling Camp.
First ever Spartan Wrestling Camp. I'm about to show these guys some technique. They're working hard.
The guy screaming there is Zach Evanesh. He's an underground strength trainer. He's a lunatic. He doesn't stop talking and screaming. I'm surprised he has a voice. All right, so there's tons of people that just can't get going in life. They're stuck on the couch, they're eating Doritos, they're watching TV. What do you suggest?
I think it depends. You got to have the heart to just realize if there's something you want to do, and if that, like you said earlier, with the Olympic team, with the rowing team, if it's going to help you get to where you need to be, you got to, you know, you just got to suck it up. All right, is eating Doritos and watching TV going to get me to that master's degree? Is it going to get me a college degree, a high school diploma, that state title, that national championship? If it's going to help you move forward, you got to really think about to myself, all right, is this really helping me? And if it's not, then you got to do something else. Also, that's really huge, is finding somebody that's a mentor, somebody that you look up to, and ask them what you would do in this situation. I've done that many times. Ask my dad or ask somebody that I trust. Hey, Dad, you know, I want to have these goals. You're a very successful person. I trust you. What would you do in this situation? And if you ask 1, 2, 3 successful people that you know, everybody knows at least 1 or 2 people that are successful. And if you ask people that are doing something right, hey, I wanna get a master's degree. Even if they don't have the knowledge of what you want to do, they're like, well, here's somebody that does. Right. This is how you got to do it. And you know, you got to work. Never give up. Always, you know, always adapt to situations and try to overcome them.
The problem is, I think people have a tough time listening.
Yes,
right?
Correct.
That's people time. Get stuck in a rut.
Yeah. You got to get yourself out of your own rut sometimes. You got to really dig deep. And how hard is it to apply for something, apply for a job? Or
things in motion stay in motion.
Correct.
Right?
Correct. 100%. Snowball effect. So you're not saying you're going to make mistakes and get on the couch sometimes. But if you're, you know, every day you used to be on the couch a week straight, but now you're on the couch 2 days on the weekend. You're changing, and that's slow. Sometimes it's not going to be a quick change.
Take that first step, take second step.
Yeah, yeah, and that's what it is. You just got to, you know, you got to dig deep. You got to want it for yourself.
Yeah.
Or want it, or you know, some people say, if you don't have it for yourself, do it for your family. Have somebody in mind why you want to do it. I want to make my dad proud, so I want to do it because maybe not for me, for my dad, or for my brother, or for my kids. Huge, you know, if you have kids and you're laying on the couch, you're not, you know, that should be a motivator. I want my kids to have success and be proud of their dad or proud of their mother, or you know. So use something to motivate you inside. It might not be yourself, but it's, I want to have a legacy. I want somebody to be like, listen, this guy right here, he worked hard, yeah. Or whoever. So that could, you can use that as a motivator as well.
There are times in your life you've been stuck. How'd you overcome that? How'd you get moving?
There's been times where I had to cut weight and then I lost, and after cutting a lot of weight and still lost, or I didn't end my college career the way I wanted. I wasn't an NCAA champion. Wasn't NCAA All-American, but I'm still training for the Olympics. The biggest thing is, or trying to be Olympian, you know, working hard to, you know, I have goals, you know, the biggest thing is knowing that my biggest motto is never give up. I might be in down, and I'm going to be doubting myself, losing tournaments or losing big matches. I always, like, all right, you know, pray to God, be like, listen, I know this is in the cards for me. I just continue to refocus, reevaluate. Michael Jordan used to miss so many games. He got cut. You know the big story. Michael Jordan got cut when he was 16 years old. One of my big stories I like to follow, or stories that I like to tell, is Jamil Kelly from Okie State. He never won a California State title, never was an All-American at Okie State, never was that guy. And then one day he showed up and beat 7 national champs and eventually went on to be Olympic silver medalist. What was that guy thinking? He had so many failures, and then all of a sudden he was able to do something great. And I guarantee you he didn't give up on himself.
What character traits get developed in wrestling?
Responsibility. If you're cutting weight and you want to have energy, there's a certain way you got to cut weight. So that helps build your character, because if you don't cut weight a certain way, you're not going to wrestle. You know, you're not going to have the responsibility. Mental toughness. If Dan Gable used to say, once you have wrestled, everything else is easy in life. Because you're out there literally battling a guy every day. It's man versus man. You can't get no macho than wrestling. And if you go in the workplace, you can send an email if you can go out there and wrestle a guy. So it just builds character. You can become mentally tough. you learn to let go of small things.
Thanks for coming.
Yeah, of course.
What a treat. I got really treated by the cars. I was here when their whole family visited. It's a massive family, and they just let their talent shine. They spread their wings, and they just share it with everyone around them, and it's awesome. Like Mr. Evanesh, whose spirit you can still hear booming in this very same room. Great guys, and you know, walk their talk, talk their walk, stock their stock. Johnny, where are we going next?
Well, you'll notice we're back a little sooner than we normally would be because we're actually doing a two-part interview today.
Ooh.
So, you know, so Nate Carr Jr., much like his father, has a lot of incredible things to say. Really cool to have that second generation of the podcast. But he said it quickly enough that we actually have time to get in two more incredible wrestlers. So we're going to go to that in a moment. But Colonel, I'd like you to tell us a bit about these two guys.
Yeah, we're going to go talk to Gabe Dean and Nashawn Gary. Two wrestlers from Cornell, great program. As we talked on a previous podcast about one of their coaches, Damian Hahn. 12 years, they've won the Ivy League championship. These are great, great program, but two really fine young men, both won national championships. Gabe Dean for the second time.
We're here at Spartan Up the Podcast. We're at Cornell. We're with two All-Americans, All-American wrestlers. What are your names?
I'm Gabe Dean.
I'm Nashawn Garrett.
What is it that gets people to get to your level, whether they're building a business or raising kids or in a relationship? Like, where's that heart come from?
Yeah, so one of the biggest things that I found was that you can make an excuse about any situation that you're in, that any situation, no matter how hard it is, you can make an excuse like not to do something. And you can make things as hard as like you want to, or as easy as you want to. And so I think as far as like wrestling goes, and has it's like attributed to my life, like pushing on, going, moving forward, pressing on towards the goal of being a national champ and being an All-American, even in like the hard times, like when I want to give up, when I wanted to just throw in the towel and quit, it was in those moments that I was being strengthened, and it was in those moments when I was becoming mentally tougher and more mentally aware for the future. So,
how about you?
I think for me it was like he's. You know, Nashawn, yeah, he did, you know, like you said, he came from a rough upbringing.
Yeah.
But for me, it's, you know, I wasn't naturally gifted or talented, and I don't look at myself that way, actually, even to now. I just, for me, it was always getting my butt kicked and coming back, you know, never just throwing in the towel. You know, I would get, you know, beat up so much through sports as a kid, but something in me, you know, I had so much pride, and I just wanted to, I always wanted to keep getting better. And I knew... if I ever threw in the towel, that I wouldn't be able to live with myself. So, and then kind of, you know, as I developed, you know, everything started coming together. And my dad always told me, you know, wrestling, anyways, it's 90% mental. So as long as you can keep fighting through it, you know, the rest will take care of itself.
Isn't it funny? We don't really train for mental, right? You guys spend all that time in the gym, and it's mostly physical.
Yeah.
Or do you think it crosses over, and maybe in the second hour of training, it becomes mental?
It seems like it's always mental. Like when it gets hard, when it gets to be like uncomfortable, it's like you got to put yourself in like those uncomfortable things, you know, like uncomfortable situations. Embrace the grind.
You come in and you know you got to mentally get yourself ready because you know what you're about to do to yourself. I almost get butterflies just talking about it because before those practices, I get all kind of almost like a nervous feeling, just like wow, what am I about to do to myself? But. That you know, that's kind of the sick mentality that you have to have. Like, you know, I'm about
So you're getting butterflies because you're nervous, like it's going to be terrible, or you're getting butterflies because it's exciting?
Like, it's so exciting what I'm about to, you know, it's exciting and also just crazy what I'm about to put my body through in this go. So it's not nervous like in the sense that I'm scared of it, just the excitement and the, you know, not
so,
a lot.
So there's a saying we have, right? Get comfortable being uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And a lot of people, I mean, if you think about society, right, we want to make everything plush and more comfortable, right? And better couches and perfect temperature showers and coffee on demand. And it's almost making us weaker in a lot of ways, right?
Just in a general sense, society?
Yeah.
I think there's, some people can make it easier on themselves. Yeah. But I think as a society, I think that if we are able to take like the new advances in like technology and like able to take these things and then like try and be more efficient with it, like and supplement it like with the hard work, then that's what's gonna make like us like run greater. Like if
so, you're like, suggesting like get like I don't know, one of those really fancy Sub-Zero refrigerators, carry it on your back and run around with it.
Exactly. Like that. Yeah. See, I just got a new watch, like, and it's gonna be able to help me like take
heart
my
rate,
heart rate monitor, sleeping, time myself when I'm gonna, you know, where I'm going to where I'm gonna be, and it's, so it's like, yeah, it's technology, it makes my life a little bit easier, I can talk on it and stuff like that, but it also, it's helping me.
What brand
it's
is that?
It's a Samsung.
Nice.
Yeah, and but it's also.
Is it a phone too?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
He's just talking.
Yeah, yeah. I was just talking. Someone's talking right now.
So, but I don't think somebody's calling you.
Yeah, someone is calling me.
And hopefully it's like a trainer or something. It's not a girlfriend, because you don't have time for that. Do you think the Russians and the Iranians are messing around with watches and coffee makers?
No, probably not.
Probably not. Either. They're probably sleeping on dirt floor. They're probably eating bugs for protein.
I mean, yeah, I think that's what a lot of people think, but you know, they're not that far off from us. It's just, I think you can either use, like he said, use those. And put the hard work with them to make you a better athlete or whatever you want to be, or you can use them as more of like a holding
crutch.
Stick or a crutch, yeah. And let it, you know, kind of make
weaken
up
you.
Weaken
yeah.
you.
Yeah, I remember Rocky used to train in the meat locker. You guys remember? We're probably too young. You remember Rocky Balboa?
Oh,
remember those old movies?
Of course, yeah. Those are like some of my favorite movies.
Yeah. So right, he was training in the meat locker, and then he got soft when he got money.
But then he figured it out. That he was getting soft because of money, but he figured it out once his trainer died and Apollo came back.
Yeah.
Then he used the both to kind of
propel him.
Propel.
You had talked about not having any support of your family, not having any support of friends, not having the money. What kept you going?
I think one of the things I really enjoyed about this sport and this and wrestling that is that for me, I knew I didn't have to rely on anybody. I knew that like if I lost, it was all on me. I knew that if I didn't get a takedown or score a point or win my match, it wasn't because like I didn't think in my mind that it was because the other person was better than me. I think it was because I didn't work hard enough, or I just wasn't like good. I just wasn't good enough, and so it put a lot like on me as opposed to like relying on like other people, which was you know in reality like people are gonna let you down, people are gonna not going to be there for you, not going to help you out or something like that. And not that that's like been my experience, because I've had like the support of my coaches and my mom for,
but you wanted, deep down inside, and you wanted success for yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. There's like an internal like yearning for like, yeah, I can do this kind of stuff.
Did you need a pat on the back? Were you looking for that?
No, I wasn't looking for a pat on the back. And one of the things I was just looking, because I knew that like I had something in me like that was just different. I knew that there's something in me that like could do something like that. And I played, I mean, I'm not an all-star, like he's an all-star football player, but I was an all-star football player like him. But when I played football when I was a freshman, I was 84 pounds. And I promise, I worked so hard, like every day on the field. I got practice player of the week one time, got to wear the black jersey the whole week. And you know, I would call out the biggest guy and we would go at it. But I just wasn't big enough. And I would ask my mom, like, Mom, like, why was I created like this? Why am I like made like so little? Why am I made so small? And she says, just there's a reason for it. There is a reason. Like, you know, God makes all things work together for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purposes. So I says, you know, okay, you know, then I'll stick with that, you know, and then from there, everything just starts to fall into play. It starts to click. Success starts to come, and then you don't forget about where you came from.
Sure. What advice would you give people that are just trying to get ahead?
I think don't let any, you know, one thing get you too down to the point where you quit, you know.
He's making calls while you're talking, just so you know.
Oh, yeah, I know. He's, you know, he's got his head up.
Don't
let one kind of thing, you know, it's always going to be like this through your whole life, no matter what. An up is always followed by a down, and once you get out of the down, you know, you start climbing back up. So that's my advice, you know, and don't go into any competition or anything that you face with any fear, because you know what, if you got to show up and compete and go at it, then why would you do it with fear anyways? So don't worry about the winning and losing, just fight.
No, I like that. I like one of the things we say is adversity is the road to success, right?
Yeah.
In life you're going to face adversity.
Yeah.
That's a given. And so the better you get at it, the more likely you'll be successful in life. If you don't practice adversity, right? If you got the nice coffee machine, if you got the nice phone watch, you got a driver picking you up, you're not practicing adversity. So I tell people, do burpees in the morning, they suck. Take cold showers. Create some adversity, because we don't live in a third world country.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
You guys go through adversity every day on the mat.
Yeah, yeah. And that's what's so beautiful about the sport of wrestling is it's not like any other sport, you know, where it's you and another guy. And mostly 100%, 90% of the time, the guy that's willing to dig and push through and keep going is going to win the match. He's going to win the war or whatever you want to call it, you know. So that's what's so beautiful about the sport. And you can't make any excuses because he's not bigger than you. You're the same weight class. He's not, you know, he could be taller, but that doesn't really matter in the sport either. So there's no excuses. It's either it's you or the other guy.
You ever hear the rap preacher? On YouTube, the rap preacher. If you get a chance to look him up, he basically has this story where he says, this guy wants to learn how to be more successful. And so the guy tells him, come down to the beach and I'll show you
how to be more successful. Oh, yeah. I've watched that like a million times.
Yeah, walks him out to the water. Right?
Yeah.
Dunks him on the water and says, when you want it, as bad as you want to breathe, you'll be successful.
Yeah, oh, yeah. That video is awesome.
Right?
That video
you wanted it chills. As bad as you want to breathe. You wanted it. Both you guys wanted it.
Yeah.
Right? Probably. What's your favorite exercise?
Favorite exercise? Oh, man. You know, something that hurts for sure.
Yeah,
something that, everybody can do the easy stuff, but it's fun to see, you know, when we have our tough days, you know, who could stay in it the longest, you know, who could stay in there that longest.
So it's interesting. We interviewed a woman in University of Pennsylvania who studies grit, right? This toughness we're talking about. And she said when she looked at spelling bee champions, kids that were studying the spelling bee competition, the kids that were amazing were the kids that go to the words that they don't know and study the words they don't know. Most kids go to the words they do know. So what both of you just said was, my favorite exercise, the worst one.
Yeah.
Most people don't say that, right?
Well, yeah.
People want to go to the ones that are fun and easy.
Anybody can do the easy stuff. Like, you know, if wrestling was easy, everybody would do it. There's a reason we only have 30 guys on our roster, you know? So.
What's it called, the plate run?
Plate run, yeah. They drop us off 3 miles away, and we've got a 45-pound plate. We got to run it back.
Carry it. What's the best way to carry it?
On your back, like this.
One hand.
We're running with one arm, and then switching.
Switching back and
forth.
Yeah.
All right. Well, good stuff.
All right. Thank you.
Good luck.
Thank you.
Olympics. You're gonna remember me?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. This doesn't happen every day, so.
All right. Cool.
That was great. Two really tough young guys there. An awful lot to learn. Again, really, really positive about working on the toughest things that they can do, the hardest exercise. Yeah. Why do wrestlers focus on that?
Well, I don't know if it's funny. Is it that wrestlers focus on that, or is it people who are willing to do that become wrestlers, right?
Yeah, maybe.
Or that we focus on a lot of wrestlers.
Well, we do. And you look at Joe. He's never made any secret about the fact that he admires wrestling and finds it one of the most incredible sports. And Colonel, I'd
say enough so that he's got his two boys into it, right?
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
I mean, he's gone.
His girls.
Well, right, but he's got his. He's taken the extraordinary step of hiring Olympic level coaches.
Who don't always make it here in Pittsburgh.
Right, and he's talked about that, but I mean, Joe believes in the sport, in not only the sport, the developmental aspects of it, that not only does it build your body, it builds your mind, so it's the mind, body, spirit.
It's the fighter mentality.
It's fighter mentality.
It's Spartan.
So he's building grit, and he can certainly do that on his own, but he's looking for some help in these other little areas, right?
Yeah.
Wrestling, I mean, let's face it, it is an ancient sport.
When was it established?
It is the... Can you read it on that?
431.
Colonel Knight's birthday.
It's an ancient sport going all the way back to the first Olympiad, right? I mean, it is the purest form. As one of the wrestlers talked about it. But it's a man on man, or can be woman on woman. I don't want to discriminate here. But it's a one on one sport, right? Mm-hmm. And there are no excuses. And you either win or you fail.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's you or the other guy. That's what Gabe says, isn't it? You or the other guy.
Right?
And I think these wrestlers and other wrestlers have mentioned that's part of what appeals to them. It's the idea that at the end of the day, I'm responsible. Nobody else. I don't have a teammate to blame it on or share the credit with either. I mean, they're out there working hard and showing up.
Yeah, and Nation says a lot about being self-starting. You know, he didn't have the support necessarily. He pushed himself, and he liked the fact that he could just rely on himself to get through that sport.
You know, it was interesting for me to hear him kind of talk about that, saying he didn't have the support, because compared to some of the other people around him, maybe support of a wrestling family, but I believe he did have a strong family, mm-hmm. which yeah. is support mechanism yeah. in and of yeah. itself, right? His sister is an All-American track star, or mm-hmm. was. So, I mean, there's a wow. family history there of excellence.
And do you notice that they all use the term, like Nate Carr, going back to the start of that interview, talked about some days you show up and you just don't feel like digging in for yourself, but you'll always do it for your team. And they use the term family for the team as well.
Well, yeah, when you're looking about the cars, though, you're looking at a family, you know, as I said in the earlier podcast, true royalty, right?
Yeah,
I mean, that you're going back to father and uncle are Olympians. Yeah. He talks about it in there that the five cars have been all Americans in wrestling.
That's some pedigree to live up to.
It really is.
Imagine if you just didn't gain the talent, you know, if you weren't that good, with that pedigree in your family to live up to.
I suspect that that family, just from the podcast, the interactions I've heard from both the father and the son, I think whatever you choose to do, they're going to be supportive.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, because Nate Jr. talked about it, right? That his father didn't press him into wrestling. He didn't demand it. He didn't force him. He kind of went into it, and they took it slowly, and he kind of just built, right, until his own love of it took over.
But I also think they're, like, scaffolding in this baseline. You know, the Cornell guys talk about Tuesdays I have butterflies in my stomach because I'm so excited for almost the pain that I'm going into. Like, that's awesome. And, you know, and Nate, and they're saying, you know, practice adversity every day. And I think, like, when you live within that mentality and you're constantly putting yourselves in those situations where you're just kind of getting annihilated and getting back up, that I think that's the warrior
mentality. And you talked about a lot of wrestlers, but it's not just a lot of wrestlers. You look at sort of who we have in this podcast, and we have a lot of ultra runners, too. And when people think about ultra running, most people just discount that. They say, I would never go out and suffer like that. And I think that that's a huge part of what this podcast is about is why do we choose to take on difficulty and how do we get through it? Because sometimes you don't choose to take on difficulty. And something Joe talks a lot about, that whole idea of obstacle immunity, is if you seek difficulty out, then when life hands you difficulty that you might not have otherwise sought out, you have a frame of reference. You can look back and say, I've been through hard stuff before. So, you know, there's no mystery to why so many elite athletes who've pushed and trained harder than most end up being successful in business and in life and in everything else they do, because they've been willing to take on that extra effort. And, you know, as Joe says, they're willing to put off the gratification and do that extra work, right? And I love in this interview when they talk about, I think you just mentioned it, that on Tuesdays it's like, I'm so excited about Tuesdays because I just cannot believe the pounding I'm going to take in there. That's pretty unique.
And the fact that Joe had Nate Carr up at 1 a.m. carrying those sandbags around and says, you know, what do you think if your competition start doing this? His response is just, good luck.
Yeah.
And I think they also talk about, I don't know if it's in this interview or other Cornell wrestlers that we've talked to, but they say when they have these guys on the mat, they don't let them show suffering or pain, right? Mm. So they say that's like a weakness in a dog or in an animal. When you see someone that's limping or sad, you're going to attack that one. So they just smile through it. And I think for like brain, again, it's that brain patterning. It's that like joy. Even when you fake it till you make it, and when you're smiling, it does something to your neurons and your serotonin. And I think that for me was really powerful. Like even when you're down and out, just put a smile on your face, and that's gonna flip the people around you's perception totally. Well,
I had never heard that.
Cool.
That technique before.
Maybe
it's very common, but I mean, you know, you don't want to be a whiner. I get all that, but I had never heard anybody being kind of almost punished if they show.
Yeah.
And talk about it, that goes back to Spartan, right? When we were breaking noses with the stick and lining everybody up. I mean, no.
All right, line up, Colonel Nye.
Again, Colonel Nye, when he says we, he's the only one who's physically there in 431.
That's how the Spartans train, correct? Yeah. In the Agogi, and if the Agogi, and for those people who want to join one, they can come this summer.
I'll be there.
But, I mean, that's it. They were looking for weakness. I know you, Coach, I know I told my son earlier, and he'd wrestled in both high school and college, there will come a time, he also ran, and the same thing applies when you're running track, there will come a time in the match, whether you're running next to somebody and it's a mile run, or whether you're in a third period of a wrestling match or something, you will hear an audible gasp when somebody breaks, right?
Mm.
There'll be a and that is at that moment, whether you know you can pass them on the turn or whether you can go ahead and take them down.
And it's always best when it's not your voice.
Yeah, exactly. You don't want to let that out because that's what the other guy is listening for.
Yeah.
He's listening for you to break.
Yeah. Yep. And if you're listening for more wisdom from us, from Joe, from our guests, go to SpartanUpPodcast.com. You'll see lots more of this and everything else.
For show notes, video, and audio of this broadcast, visit SpartanUpPodcast.com/088. Thank you for listening to another epic story of success. Follow us on Twitter at SpartanUpPod. The Spartan Up Podcast is brought to you by Spartan.
To find a race near you, visit Spartan.com.